Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. If up the black police, that 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Up coin tail bro.
Show. They got me started, lying hearted. I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised? Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck all the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fuck me promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police, that 13th Amendment. Tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here. Up coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the counselor, the elder, cause that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Boys, that don't tolerate it, melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack upped up another conversation, Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Black power. Black power, black power, black power. Come on now, let's see what we got going on here, brothers and sisters. Mic check, can y'all see me? Can y'all hear me? Black power, black power, black power. Brothers and sisters, we are live on the new Black Panther Party Broadcast Network, coming to you on multiple streams today. We're coming to you via YouTube, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live, Instagram Live, and now, brothers and sisters, we are also going to be able to see these via live stream if you missed the program on an independent black network called Dollar TV, D-I-L-A, Dollar TV Network.io. You're able to download these streams on Apple TV as well as on Roku, on your phone, as well as on your laptop, so you can't miss them. So if you missed this broadcast live, don't worry about it. We created 7 different streams for you to hear this important information. Y'all know it can be any time when we get taken down off these airways, we come in with this serious content. So we crossed our T's and dotted our I's. This young man that we have as our special guest today is a very important and serious freedom fighter. He has dedicated his time and is a full-time organizer in the cause, the righteous cause for reparations. I'm talking about our dear brother Cam Howard, who is the founder of Reparations United. He has some very powerful information that we're going to be discussing on tonight. So we want you to get your pens and papers. We don't have any time for any foolishness. We're going to get right down to business. So without any further ado, let's bring on our dear brother, Brother Cam Howard, the founder of Reparations United. Black power, Brother Cam.
Black power, Brother
Cam. Oh, no doubt, no doubt. It's a pleasure to have you here. Now, you have a very interesting campaign that you want our people to take serious as well as get involved in. And that campaign is called Earn the Black Vote. Earn the Black Vote. Brother, what is this Earn the Black Vote all about? I'm going to ask you two questions. Well, actually three. What is the Earn the Black Vote all about? How is the time we have today's political climate? And, you know, why did you choose this campaign? And you know, before you jump into those questions, tell us a little bit about you and why you took this edition about Black Power. Foundation,
Think about it. When you talk about movement, there are different elements that are involved. And, you know, Jackson Lee took over in 2020. She introduced it in 2021 and again in 2023. So that's the advice they would show.
Oh, wow. So, isn't it just still bill number 40? You got that thing at 4,000?
Still bill number 40. We were able to get Senator Cory Booker. He introduced senators, I think it was 108 or something. And we had to educate him and say, man, you got to be here the first day of Congress and position your bill to be the 40th bill as well. So we have S-40 on the Senate side and HR-40 on the House side.
Well, speaking of Congresswoman, she is actually, the Congresswoman here in Houston, Texas. And we want to send our prayers out to the dear Congresswoman, and she is fighting, battle of pancreatic cancer. And, with that being said, who will be the representative in Congress to take this bill on? Would it remain Cory Booker?
So he's on the
Senate side or the congressional side? Who would it be?
The congressional side, because of that big brand and such of our nation. We should make a strong comeback and to the press and executive order and get to white this executive order. But, and we won't have to worry about the next Congress. So, that's, how we should think. We don't know Cory Bush in St. Louis, Missouri has been talking about Jamal Bowler, who just lost his race, so
he's
no longer a candidate. That
position,
we just don't know who that person
would
be.
I turned out for the election. Is that going to be hanging on or what?
Well, we're hanging on this Congress. This Congress hasn't played out. This Congress started in 2023, so all of 2023, 2024. The new Congress will be in 2025, so it'll play out until January 1st of 2025. We can find someone who will introduce it at that time. We have to probably find someone before then, so they can position it for the 40th bill in the 2025 new Congress.
Okay, now we're going to get into another black vote, but I just want to be clear about this HR 40. So initially, HR 40 was introduced as a study year. But after, But after it didn't get passed as a study bill, in the meantime, in between time, black people, were self-determined and did their own study. Who did these studies? Was it our people? Was it a combination? Who did the studies? And who had the courage to step up and say, okay, this is out of date? And this should be updated. How did that come about? And I know that takes people really paying attention and staying on top of them.
So the studies have been done by all the different books. The scholars was written, Writing the Dead and Slavery by Another Name and Ebony and Ivory that talks about how the educational institutions were built on enslavement. There was a number of books, articles, et cetera. Legal articles, essays like Tommy the Coast article. There was a number of articles and books written since 1989 when it was first introduced in 2015 when we decided what we're going to. Now, how did it come about being revised? At the very first NARC meeting,
can you back up and say before you say, what is NARC? What is NARC? What is NARC? And it sounded like something for people to think, they could be like,
National African American Reservation Commission. In 2013, the Caribbean countries created the CARICOM Reservation Commission and began to file a lawsuit against the European nations that had engaged in the enslavement of the African people in the Caribbean. And Dr. Daniels, Ron Daniels, saw that, and then he called a meeting in Chicago to be a team national meeting to revitalize the reparations movement. Congressman Conyers was in Chicago, Minister Farrakhan, several people in the movement came to Chicago. Very important meeting. Dr. Rodney John Baptiste, who argued the lawsuit in 2005. Dr. Joanne Watson, who's worked with Johnson County in Detroit, and those sisters, and Hillary Knuckles, the keynote speaker, who's chair of Caricom. And from that, called a meeting, Dr. Maddox called a meeting, and the article was developed, hashtag American Red Person's Group. So probably about 17 people were initially commissioners. And that's the very first meeting, of course. HR 40 was going to come up. But it came up. At the time, I was elected to the commission of Chairman Cobra. And I laid out two things why Cobra did not back the bill. I shared those earlier. One, it was obviously both what it was designed to do and already been done, not in the decision form, but by different scholars over the years. And two, Congress had abandoned his own bill. And we weren't putting in a bill that Congressman was sponsored. Wasn't even pushing us to come on to his own stuff, or our stuff. And that was just a waste of our time. So Dr. Daniels stated that as I made that presentation that he was assured by Congressman Kiders that he really wanted to push HR 40. He was wrong back then and backed away from his bill of Obama. And he wanted to push his bill. And he said, since it was obsolete, why don't we just revise it? So that was his suggestion at that very first meeting. But it was because of my presentation, having been the leading member in this country on the non-government level, society level, pushing HR 40 and being involved in HR 40. And that was my assessment of it. And based on my assessment, we took the opportunity to revise it.
Yes, sir. Okay, so... That's one of my good buttons that reminded me about somebody sharing the slide. Now, Brother, let's go with Ron. I have one more question on his background, because it's the elephant in the room. The Democrats did not want to do anything radical that would affect Obama's election. So, affect the health care plan. Come on. So he was already in office. And but the Democrats.
That was his major piece was Obamacare.
Right.
And it was hard fight. He fought it probably 3 or 4 years. I don't know how he fought it. Made it to his election. That's the election where he fought it. He was successful. But it shut down anything by the Congressional Red Caucus.
Well, we know that upon him coming into office, before he became into office, that was one thing that the white media pressed on him, asking him about liberation, and he spoke against it. And so that was not only what I believe to be traitors, but that was also, you know, one thing that turned a lot of people away from the political movement, you know, as far as getting involved with the Democratic Party. You know, which has its own history. And so this is the perfect segue as we get into your campaign on earning the black vote. But, you know, this political education, the way our people are being manipulated and taken advantage of by the political players for decades now is old news. You know, it's left a bad taste in many of our people's mouths, and it's left a disdain to many people as relates to these different political parties on either side, Democratic or Republican. And when we hear of these type of compromises, you know, it's very, not only is it disheartening, it's quite traitorous, as I said before. Now, how do we, you know, get, you know, with these type of political shenanigans that have taken place, you know, why would our people want to get involved with the process, period? And if they were to get involved with the political process, I believe that I'm going to, you know, just jump on in here. We're going to definitely have to come with some strategy that's making it work out well. You know, so that's the thing right there, you know, That's really his, you know, that really is his title, his attraction. And unfortunately, we see that, you know, locally, we see that, you know, statewide, nationwide, national, with these politicians, the wonderful office, it appears that they're only concerned about themselves, them being in position, them being involved, and, you know, leave the past for the people out of job. You know, how do you address such an issue? What do you say to that?
To make sure that I put your organization, how folks can contact your organization in the chat, so if you could mention that right quick, and I'll make sure I put it down in the banner. But, you know, you mentioned a very key point, and, you know, we have to become politically mature. It is much more to being involved and having political power than simply going to vote. And I think that's something that we are not have not putting on the table and have not thoroughly examined. In the New Black Panther Party, one of our 9 local objectives is we want, to have politicians or policies in place that represent our communities. And so that's going to require a certain level of political maturity. And so the notion, and I can say, be quite honest, I've been, you know, one of those individuals that was like, you know what, this political process is not for us. You know, what can we, you know, benefit from just getting individuals jobs? But unless there was an initiative that I felt was worth it, or a candidate that I felt was worth it, I never got involved and didn't want to get involved. But I've come to the understanding that, you know, we're at war, and as political prisoners, which I believe our people are prisoners of war, you know, we need to use every means of fighting back what's taking place for us, you know, be it educationally, be it economically, be it politically. And, you know, you touched on that a bit, but we'll come back to that. But I want to go ahead, brother, and just jump on into how do we contact your organization, and then, you know, now that we've laid the backdrop of Earn the Black Vote, I want to talk about it, and then, you know, we're going to have to talk about the elephant in the room with this executive order with Biden appearing to be, you know, out to lunch. You know, what's the game plan gonna be on that? So, you know, but the bottom line from what I'm gathering you're saying is we need to be in the fight to have a dog in the fight, have a, you know, a say in the fight. And, you know, so let's just unpack number one, how do the brothers and sisters reach your organization? Because while you're talking, I want that to be scrolling. And then let's get off into this Earn the Black Vote. And I'm going to need about 2 or 3 minutes. So you need to go ahead and filibuster while I pull up your presentation. I'm just joking, brother. It's not going to be a filibuster. But go ahead. But excuse me for a second while I step away from the crowd and pull up your presentation. But those are the key points we need to get here. Phone right quick and see what we can do. What I want to do is to my brothers and sisters that are giving us some comments right now, I want to pull up some of your comments and give you some shouts out. Now, we do want you brothers and sisters that are listening to this program right now on YouTube to go ahead and like, share, and subscribe. Not only do we want you to like, share, and subscribe, We would also have you to put your money where your heart is. Put your money where your heart is and support this programming. Support this programming and send your contributions. We also are always recruiting for the new Black Panther Party for self-defense, for brothers and sisters that are of like mind, like spirit. And we are looking for brothers and sisters who are serious about your community, who are serious about your people. You don't have to know everything. We just want you to be sincere and someone that is showing a commitment and that could be teachable and willing to be a leader. You know, it's not fair to sit around and just type on a computer and hit like and hit share and not put a few moments, a few dollars, a few thoughts into the movement. Right now, brothers and sisters, this is truly on our watch. You know, we could talk about the 60s and 70s and be critical of what happened and talk about, you know, some people want to talk about how great we were back in Kemet and all the great things we did in Egypt, you know. But right here, right now, today, there's work to be done. Our dear brother, Brother Eugene, a.k.a. Brother Obi, say they bought us, they sold us, they owe us reparations, Black Power. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. We have another brother right here, Brother Shay, out of D.C., saying, how would earning the black vote stand up if Trump gets elected and this 2025 project gets passed? Where will we stand then? Great question. We'll come back to that, Brother Shay. We'll definitely come back to that. Did you find that, what did you put?
Yeah, I think I put it in the wrong email address. I just sent it again.
Oh, okay. Now, what's this private? Oh, okay. Hey, brothers and sisters, don't laugh at Sister Kristen because I'm learning how to work this switchboard. Y'all know how y'all do us in this movement. Y'all got us on the battlefield, on the front line, behind the scenes, filming, reporting, raising the money. Golly. That's why... That's why, and I got to thank, give a shout out to all the comrades of New Black Panther Party that have been supporting. And, you know, we basically been pulling together our resources on our own to make sure that these information, these airs are filled with information. So, Brother Wild, I am pulling up your presentation. This question, I'm going to put this question back up there. It says, how would earning the black vote stand up if Trump gets elected and this Project 25 gets passed, where will we stand? I think that's a good point for you to speak on while I step out for camera right quick and pull up your presentation.
So thank you for that question. It's a good question. So how would earn the black vote stand up if Trump gets elected? So the Earn the Black Vote campaign primarily is a campaign for those who hold power now that can do something before the election. So that is President Biden, who can establish reparations commission by executive order. And that's Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, rather, the Speaker sets the calendar of the House, which means however, in this case, if Trump seriously wanted to go out to the black vote, he could direct Mike Johnson to appoint him to the board of the vote. And, you know, if that's possible, saying, hey, do that. What our goal is to get a commission established before the election. If Trump gets voted in and he's established Project 2025, most of their policies send us back into an apartheid state that we were in during Jim Crow. May not be a violent apartheid state, but it will be an apartheid state nonetheless, where, you know, separate and unequal will be the norm again. White supremacy value, white privilege would be legal, would be the jure, not just de facto. So, you know, that's what Project 25 owes to us. But Trump doesn't have the power to do anything before he elects him. He's not the president. He can't direct Mike Johnson. And again, we got a message on whether he does it or not. Remains to be seen. But all of that is to be used to leverage the president's act.
Okay, so I sent you a test email. See if you received that test email.
I still didn't get it.
No. Now, let me see here. So while we're doing that, you're sending the test email. What else comments do we have right here? So hold on with the comments.
You sent it to Reparation United?
Yes. So basically, the brother said politics is war without bloodshed. Now, you know what, brother? It might not be you. I just seen something. My email might be full. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you an alternative email. Let's see. Because I do believe that it's key that we have your presentation here giving you an opportunity to explain the earn the black vote. Now, while I'm doing that, I'm going to ask another question. And I mentioned it earlier about Biden. Maybe the question you just answered relates to that. It appears that Biden has some early stages of Alzheimer's. So it's appearing from the election, the debate the other day. How is that going to factor into his campaign, or does it?
Acuity from the debate, from the State of the Union to the debate. I mean, that was a drastic difference in his mental abilities. And so, especially when it came to, when it came to the question around the black voters, he should have known that was going to be a question, and he totally fumbled it. And, that showed that he was not there. We're not really concerned about his mental abilities as much as we're concerned about forcing him to establish a commission before the election. If they were to substitute him or put someone else in, the talk is Governor Newsom out of California, Governor Hochul out of New York, and Governor Pritzker out of Illinois. All three of those governors have signed reparations commission bills. So it wouldn't be that much of a difference if they selected one of them. We could even utilize that, leverage the fact that they signed commission to get him to sign a commission before he leaves office, before, you know, he still will have until, you know, January. Remain in office, even as the lame duck, if he loses, he still could do it in November, December. So our focus is not so much on his mental as it is on his, you know, ability to sign a pen now.
All right, well, Black Power. Well, we were able to get your slide up. Can everybody see that clearly? Can you see it, Brother Cam?
I can.
All right. So, bear with me. We're going to have to use it in this format. So it says right here, you just tell me when to change the slide, but let's rock and roll.
This is a very, very abbreviated form. I think this is not 8 slides, really. And the whole, this is, we have a teaching that we do every other Wednesday. And it's about 32 slides that we use. This is a very, very abbreviated. I knew we'd have conversations and we'll spend all the time just with slides, but you can go to the next slide. So we have a simple message to the president at this time, and we have a simple message to Trump too, and I shared that. But our message to the president last year and a half, many have said they actually, we have a number of 2.9 million from the firm that we use, 2.9 million black voters who voted for Biden in the last election, say they weren't feeling him. They were disappointed in him. And so he cannot win with that, without those numbers. So our message is that he wants to step aside the black face to reverse that defection. He has established a reparations commission by executive order now. Very clear, very simple. You know, you cannot win without a significant number of black voters. You don't have those numbers now. And, you know, the only way you're going to get them is through a reparations commission. Now, he hasn't bought that yet. And so, you know, we have to continue messaging him until he gets it. But that's our simple message to the president. We are, when I say we have power, but our power is dormant. We're 20% of the Democratic Party base. That's larger than all other people of color combined. You look at Latinos, Asians, Arabs, et cetera. All of them combined are about 19% of the Democratic Party, and probably about 8% of the Republican Party. But they're 19% of the Democratic Party. We're 20% of the Democratic Party. And so they cannot win any election without us. That's the power that we possess. That's why I have that little gold chest piece on there to represent, you know, even in the millions of votes that hundreds of millions of voters that the Democratic Party gets, 100 million plus voters, that 15 million that are black are significant because the Republicans win the majority of the white vote. They won the majority of the white vote in every election since 1952, with the exception of LBJ. He wouldn't have been in office if black folks hadn't put Kennedy in office. So the only way you get a Democratic president in 1960, 64, 72, 74, 76 with Carter, Clinton twice, Obama twice, and Biden. The only way you get Democratic presidents throughout that entire time is the difference between the black vote that the Democrats get and the Republicans get. White vote is always going to be Republicans. And again, over 60, 70 years of presidential politics have shown us that.
Now, what percentage, excuse me, do you know the stats on what percentage of black votes vote Republican?
That's 10%, 11%. Biden got 88, 89% of the black vote. Trump got about 10, 11%.
So even still, the black vote counts for the swing vote for either party. When you have an election that was as close as it was in the last election.
Trump needs about 15%. He needs to get that up to 15%. He don't need a majority. He just needs to get the Democrats' numbers down. 15%, 18%, he wins. And, you know, right now, 20% of the black vote, 3 million out of the 15 million that Biden got. I'm not feeling it. That is enough for a Trump victory.
Mm.
And numerically, that's enough for a Trump victory. That's what we're messaging to them. The only way you're going to excite black voters, the only way you're going to turn all those voters around and gain new voters, and we have polls that we just completed to show that you would even get more voters than you got in the last election as black voters come out and be established in our business commission. So,
so the black vote is just that powerful. It is the deciding factor between who is president, period, when you just do the math.
The last 1960,
well, that's what we're talking about now. You know, anyone that was, you know, a voting age, and that's a voting age, this is something that, when I'm talking about political education, you know, everybody, for the most part, takes the black vote for granted, when the black vote is the key. It is the main factor. Now, okay, now, as you were, brother, but you know, that's just, I want to put a pin in that and come back to that, because
no, they just got over granted until Clinton. That was, you know, again, Kennedy began to establish, began to break down segregation, began to break down apartheid in this country. And he appointed Johnson as vice president to be the czar of civil rights. And when Johnson became president, he continued, he signed into law again the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and the Fair Housing Law, those three laws together, is said to have ended segregation in this country, legal segregation in this country. So we got something for our vote in 60 and 64. When Carter was in office, he established affirmative action. And we know how important affirmative action was when it was first established. Many of your black leaders today, you know, went to universities and colleges that they couldn't get into to went for affirmative action. And some of our first wave of political leaders, like the Marion Barry, the Harold Washington, and brother out of Ohio, Cleveland, Gary, Indiana, Detroit, Michigan, Atlanta, Georgia, those first mayors, you know, they were a whole different cut of cloth than the politicians we have now. But they were affirmative action recipients. Congresswoman, she was at Jackson Lee, went to Yale as on the affirmative action program. So, you know, that was very significant. And that was, and payment was putting Carter in office. Clinton gave us symbolism. And then Obama gave us non-neglect. And Biden wants to give us rhetoric. So we haven't gotten anything from any Democrats since Carter of any significance. Not to say that they were perfect. There was a lot of things Carter did that's detrimental effect, as well as Kennedy and Johnson. But they did begin to attempt to do some reforms as a result of us putting them in office. We haven't gotten that from these last three Democratic presidents.
But that was the point. That's my point. You know, okay, let's go back and we do these numbers. The black vote will be the deciding factor on the Democratic Party getting into the position, period. And with that being said, we have not held them accountable or put any forth any demands that would make a sizable dent in our condition here in this country, because, you know, as you mentioned, we've only gotten, since Clinton, symbolism, neglect, and rhetoric as well. So, with the voting process today, say, for instance, if black people withheld their vote, would it be a logical conclusion that the Republicans would automatically dominate the political climate?
Again, the Republican Party is going to win the majority of white votes in this country. Every election, when Democrats can keep it close, you know, Carter kept it, Kennedy kept it close. It was 49% of whites voted for Kennedy, 51% voted for Nixon. That was Nixon's first run. And there was a difference between the black vote that voted 88% for Kennedy that put him in office. Carter had it close, but not as close as Kennedy. I think he won probably about 46%, 47% of the white vote. And his running mate won around 52, 53%. But again, the black vote made that difference. When Clinton ran, Ross Perot ran, he ran twice. He's siphoned out on some of the liberal vote and some of the conservative vote. But Clinton only won about 38% of the white vote. And his opponent won about 42%. And Ross Perot won some more. But still, he didn't win enough of the white vote. Barack Obama won only about 42% of the white vote in his second election. Less than he won the first election. And we overcame that huge gap. 42% to 58%. Trump 60% of the white folks. And we were able to overcome that with, I think it was 58 to 60%. But blacks were able to overcome that. When Democrats could not keep it close, like with Reagan won it, close to 70% of the white folks, 68%, over 60%, we couldn't raise that gap. We couldn't overcome that huge gap. Democrats can keep it close to Republicans, close enough. It's the black vote that makes a difference. Again, they cannot win an election if it's only going to fight people in this country.
Wow, okay. That's key. That's key. All right, brother. All right. Are we still on this slide? Or do I need to move to the next one? No, no problem. I'm just trying to stay on beat here.
So our goal is established in this country to the president and to the black electorate that our vote must be earned. We can't no longer take our vote for granted. We're not saying that if you don't vote, if you don't establish reparations, we're not going to vote. That's not the gist of our messaging. Our message is we want to win together. We win by a reparations commission. You win when we come out and vote for you, but we have to win first. And when we win, you win. We've demonstrated that in the past. Black folks can give any Democratic victory if the Democrat can keep it close. What Biden fears, two things Biden fears. He fears a race war. These Republicans are ready to go to war, literally. And he fears that he will lose so much of the white vote that the black vote won't overcome it. So we had two polls. We ran two polls. We paid the two polling companies to run two polls. One poll was in Michigan among what is called infrequent black voters. Black voters who rarely vote. They're registered to vote, but they rarely vote at all. And we targeted them. We asked them, if Joe Biden was established reparations commission, are you more likely, less likely, or no different that you'll come out and vote in November? 60% said that they were more likely to vote. That would add about 150,000 votes to Biden's bid. Will him establishing a reparations commission turn off so many white people, Democrats, they're talking about Republicans. Republicans are turned off anyway. But will it turn off so many white Democrats that he won't be competitive among whites in that state? We're messaging in him that that's not the case. That this number of black voters that you will receive above what you got last election will offset any whites you lose by 3-1. And that's not, now where do we get those numbers from?
That was about to be my question. I'm glad you went on into it.
So there was a 2019 Huffington Post poll that asked the question to all Democrats. Are you opposed to a reparations commission? These are Democratic voters. 80% said they were in favor or unopposed of white Democrats. These are predominantly white Democrats. 80% are non-black. 80% of non-black Democrats said that they were either in favor or unopposed. It didn't matter to them whether they actually were in favor of it as Democrats. Only 20% said they were opposed. That was in 2019, 5 years ago. And you see all the activity in reverend, we believe that number is much lower. So he would only have the possibility of losing part of that 20% who are unopposed. Again, we think that number is lower. But if we message to that 20% that the only way they win, if he does this, if he doesn't do it, you lose. If we get that message over, we can think we would even start or save off that amount of defection of the white Democrats. Again, we're not going to run any white Democrats over this Republican Party. They're not going to be that foolish at this particular time, but there will be some backlash of them probably not voting, but they're not going to run Republican, which would still hurt the fight. But our numbers suggest that even if some fell off, those that you will pick up would be much greater. That's just one poll. Then we ran a second poll. That was among infrequent black voters. Then we ran a second poll Democrats is starting to come out. Again, overwhelming numbers says they're coming out and voting. They're going to vote Democrat. These guys are risking missions. So we're showing them there. And then we've also got numbers to show that, like in states like Texas, where you have, there are almost a million eligible black voters who are not even registered. If we can get a reparations commission, say we registered just half of them, half a million. I mean, yeah, half a million, 500,000. That's enough to turn Texas blue, and certainly enough to make sure that he stays in, you know, in office. So there's ways and opportunities for us to utilize the Reparations Commission to ensure that this guy is elected. However, they're not getting the message. They're not receiving the message. So that's something that, you know, this campaign is about. How do we get them to see the message?
Yeah, are they ignoring the message? Are they ignoring the message or not receiving it?
Thank you for that. Give me one second.
No problem. While he's doing that, brothers and sisters, let me get some of your comments up here. I didn't want to pop them in his face while he was talking. So we got our sister, Queen X, raised a point. She says, what does she say here? Without the black vote, their election would be considered an unfair election. They need our power to win, but we need to retain our own power. That's the only reason why they passed the Voting Rights Act. All right. Another brother put, the VP needs to see this. I'm assuming our brother is talking about the Vice President, Kamala Harris. Another comment says the resurrection happened because they thought we were taking the, I guess she meant insurrection, happened because they thought we were taking over the country, but that we were referring to as us. Very interesting comment from the listening audience. We appreciate all of your comments. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. All right, brother. Did you
So your question was, are they not getting it or are they not hearing it?
Right.
They're getting it. They're getting it because, you know, look, the resources that we were given to do this work, we hired one of the top artificial intelligence, social marketing, and social media companies in the country. They have over $100 million invested in artificial intelligence to do their surveys and their marketing, where they can pinpoint your ads to the people who you wanted to go to. And so we hired this company to target our message to 2,300 of Joe Biden's closest influencers, 850 of his professional influencers, 750 of his political influencers, and 500 of his personal influencers. This is the cream of the crop of the Democratic Party in this country. And we ran over 2.5 million ads to this body. And all of our ads form 2 to 5 times industry standards as far as clicks, video watch. We ran over 300,000 15-second videos. I'll show you. I'm probably going to show you some of those, one of those or something before we leave. But I'm going to show you the ads. So they're getting our messages. He hasn't been moved by our message to date. So, you know, that's why we did one form of messaging to his to these high-level Democrats, that they need to inform the president that they can only win with the black vote. Same thing I'm saying here, we said to them, to inform the president. I'll show you some of those
fast. Yep, and by the way, even though this broadcast is slated till 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern, we do run these airways, so we can go over it maybe. We just designated that time, so you're under no time constraint. But I do want to respect your time, so just keep that in mind. If you don't feel like the need to rush, we do want you to make sure you get all of your information. So you ran targeted ads, and I understand that there's been some direct action to present this information, too, at the different events that have been going on across the country. So I know I've heard and seen some of the work that you guys have been doing. Okay, so... Now, let me be clear. So is this campaign specifically targeted towards Biden or the Democratic Party or both?
It's targeted towards Biden and the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party control the country. The president is just the top figure of the party. Your party does not have power if your president doesn't win. But the power is in the cabinet, power is in the agency, heading all the agencies that run the government, you know, the departments of defense, the, you know, intelligence, foreign affairs, all of that is where the power lies. And the president, you know, gets to put people in place that he wants. But that's the power of the party, is in leading these agencies, leading every level of government. And so this election is a very, very powerful piece when it comes to white control of this country through their agencies, departments, et cetera, et cetera. And we're the ones who determine who does that. You know, who runs the Department of Defense? Who runs the Department of Education? Who runs the Department of Labor? Department of Agriculture, Department of all these other departments and agencies within the federal government, the FBI and the CIA and all that. Now, we're the ones who are putting, you know, these people in these positions of power, and we're not getting anything out of it. Not that we, you know, we know that this is a, this country is a rogue nation, but we're in it, and, you know, we should be getting, we should be allowed to live while we're here, and that's not something we've been done, but that's another conversation argument. But, so yeah.
Now, it says here, no reparations, no vote.
We're targeting the Democratic Party and the president.
It says no reparations, no vote.
Yeah, I said this is not a no reparations, no vote campaign.
Oh, this is not.
It's not this campaign. Yeah, so that no reparations, no vote was really, came out of one of those groups I talked about earlier, reparations groups I talked about earlier. They're really pushing a right-wing agenda, but we're doing it under so-called pushing reparations. They were pro-Trump, and we're utilizing that slogan, and we want to make it clear that we're separate from that. This is not an old reparations, no vote campaign. This is a let's win together. We'll help you win, but we got to win first. And if we don't win, then you're on your own. Some black folks, we're not telling black people to vote or not vote. Just simply, we're just out of the mix. I'm not telling anybody to vote one way or the other in November. I'm not telling. This campaign is not about telling anybody to vote. It's about leveraging our vote, our past vote, now to get what we want and to say that if you want our vote in the future, this is what you have to do.
The brother says no reparations, no black tax dollars or black bodies for war. I mean, you know, we know your campaign has earned the black vote, but the people are going to put out messages, and this is something that many of our people are clear on. No black tax dollars and no bodies for war. Yeah, I mean, bro.
We can say that, but you know, if we can't organize to make this demand, I don't think we're going to organize to keep black folks from war.
Yeah, well,
rewards black youth. They give them this idea that there's going to be this huge future waiting for you if you fight for us. A lot of black youth, some of them just want to get out of, you know, their communities. And so it's a win for them to go to war for these people. And so I understand that statement, but the ability to deliver on it, I think we're far from that.
It's perceived as a win, but it's also a setup. That's the false perception. That is. Let me clear on that.
That's
a false perception. You know, we have plenty of people who went to Vietnam, who are homeless, who remain, who went to the war in Afghanistan, the Gulf War, you name it. They got nothing for it. So let's be, you know, by no shape, form, or fashion is the New Black Panther Party encouraging anybody to go to war. But our guest is on here and has a strategy, a strategy for political position and for reparations that we need to look at. We need to be intelligent enough and you know, put things on the table and have concrete discussions and put all these issues on the table and not get all into our emotions, because at the end of the day, you have a Congress
under a Democratic president that just passed a bill to basically reenact the draft from age 18 to 26. And that Congress was put in office and voted in by our people. You know, so the political games that are taking place here, you know, we really need to take it serious. We need to look at what's going on. It seems like there's going to be more to just these reparations campaign that meets the eye, but we need to, at the end of the day, it's about having political power and not just going to vote. Having political power and not just being a political puppet, in which is, you know, we just go ahead and put two and two together from what's been said today. We've been treated as political puppets, you know, symbol with no substance. We go in there and vote for who they told us is your choice to vote for. We didn't put any demand on the table. Do you go into a job and work for 40 hours and not ask for wages? So why would you go and put something on the table to put somebody in office or to continue to put people in office and not demand something from them, not put a requirement on them? We have to elevate, brothers and sisters. What is taking place, you know, between the 1960s and today, you know, that has us in this okie-dokie type of blind following with the Democratic Party is a whole other discussion. But we say today, brothers and sisters, enough of that. We need to take this reparations campaign is on our watch, the civil rights movement, what the civil rights movement was for our brothers and sisters back in the 50s and 60s. The reparations campaign on our watch is the same as what it was in the 1860s when people were fighting to end slavery. This is on our watch, something that we can do to push the condition of our people in a better position for the next generation than while we're sitting here. We cannot continue to just be victims and complaining and just having debates and arguing without putting some strategy on the table, without putting some goals on the table. Let's do the numbers. Let's come up with a plan. Even if you don't like the plan, do you have a better plan? But to sit around and just talk crap and debate, where has that gotten us? So go ahead, Brother Cam. Are we still on this slide?
We can go to the next one.
All right, Black Power.
Yeah, we were. I was doing something.
All right.
Get back to the presentation. So this is one of our campaigns. So we have, with messaging, on the previous slide, I'll share on the
previous. You want to go back to the previous slide?
Yeah, just for 1 second. So down at the bottom, our messaging campaign, we have four sets of messaging that we were messaging to the president, the Democratic Party, and the black voters. The messaging is the same. One, that we have this power. The Democratic Party totally depends on the black vote. Number two, we built the political will in this country around reparations. It exists. We're not in an Obama moment where you say it was a non-starter. There's so much going on in reparations. Number three, this is Joe Biden's Lincoln moment. If he wants to save quote-unquote democracy, democracy is at peril. This guy wants to find the 2025 as an office, fascist, autocratic document that's going to establish a fascist regime. So if he wants to avoid that, this is his moment. He has to act as Lincoln. And then our fourth message is that we have enough data to show that you pay black reparations to reparations to black people, there's going to be a number of benefits to all of America when you do so. So that's our messaging. And we also have, you can go to the next slide, I'll show you the messages we're using to do those messaging.
Now I have another question, another statement in the chat, in the private chat, or in the text to me. Before we go into this, I have to bring this up. Now, what about, you know, and we kind of need to bring this up, there are many people who say political this political process, we will never have equal access. You know, this is a game where we're pretty much legitimizing, when we voted, this is a game where we're pretty much legitimizing a criminal enterprise, a system that is designed to enslave us, and when we use our black vote, it's legitimizing this system, and that we just need to separate and have our own government. In fact, I am the president of the Republic of New Africa, you know, voted in quite recently. You know, how is there a contradiction, or how does that, this earning the black vote or participating in this current political process factor into those brothers and sisters who want to exercise self-determination and have independent nation state?
So two things. One of the things, I was talking about earlier, we're in a subjugated situation in this country, no question. In fact, we're subjugated all around the world. Black people are subjugated. We have to create revolution to overcome that. You see some things happening on the African continent with some African leaders who are pushing for the notion of economic power within this militarized planet that we live in. We do not have the power in this country to engage in a military confrontation with this country. The ability to exercise our will, we are confined to the structures that we have until we can build the flexibility to act outside of that. I'm a type of citizen of Africa. I'm a black nationalist. I'm a separatist. But I understand that a lot of our people aren't. But more so than that, the conditions that this country, policies that they make are going to affect us all. And until we have that sovereign reality, we're going to be affected by those policies. So we have to try to do what we can to make sure that those policies give us an opportunity to add the resources, that's what reparations is about, to build enough capacity to wage a successful separation and sovereign struggle in this country.
The commission
is supposed to look at this whole idea of repatriation. Repatriation doesn't necessarily have to mean to another country. It has to look at the ability of national minorities, which we are, the right to exercise self-determination as the international community sets out concepts that, in which national minorities are recognized as separate sovereign entities. That's a process that we have to go through. That's kind of embedded in the commission's work. The commission can help us to do that. The commission can help us wage a plebiscite. I know plebiscite was one of the things pushed by early by Republic of New Africa. What's the will of the people? What's the will of black people in this country? Well, the commission can be charged with that. I want to repatriate. So if the commission is established, I'm going to gather as many people and organizations as possible that I know wants to repatriate with resources. And we're going to devise policy proposals, and we're going to inform the commission on that. Hopefully the commission will adopt that. And everybody who has a particular idea or strategy around land, around sovereignty, around self-determination should also be doing the same thing, positioning that particular idea, proposal, policy before the commission and win our sovereignty. We can't win militarily, just win it through these so-called governmental structures that they have available. So the leaders of the Republic of Africa was pushing in this direction. Malcolm X was pushing in this, telling us to go in this direction. Use international law, use the structures that we have to gain our sovereignty, gain our independence and self-determination. We're not legitimizing this country. And everything we do, we're showing that this is a criminal nation. Reparations is about redress from crimes and the impact of those crimes. And we let every government, level of government know, whether it's the federal government, state level, local government, that we're pushing for redress for the crimes and the continued impact of the crimes that you committed at this particular level. So we're not legitimizing. fact they're exposing the criminality of this government, federal, state, and local, and I push for reparations.
Right. You know, we didn't spell out a defined reparation at the beginning of this program, but we would definitely file upon it before you close out, because, you know, I think that might help give some context for our brothers and sisters as it relates to this issue that we just spoke on. You know, we are in a protracted battle, brothers and sisters, and these different strategies and these different presenters that we're going to be presenting on our broadcast have thought out many of these scenarios. And we mentioned earlier in COBRA, which is an organization that came out of the Republic of New Africa. And then COBRA was very instrumental in helping to get H.R. 40 on the table. And our brother, Cam Howard, is coming out with the leadership of COBRA. So, again, we're talking about political power and political strategies. So, let's see. Now, you have this particular postcard up here. What's this all about, bro?
Sorry, campaign. Again, our goal is to message to the president. The president, the White House receives about 60,000 pieces of mail every week. And what we wanted to do is get about 2,500 postcards mailed into the White House every week. We got 2,500 postcards mailed into the White House. Every 20 or so pieces of mail would be this postcard. Postcard is a picture of a wreath. There's a brother, a reverend out of Baltimore. He walks to the White House from Baltimore once a month. He did it probably 18 to 19 times straight to this day. I was there on one occasion. He lays a black wreath that says reparations now before the White House. I took that picture, and we put that on the front of the postcard. And on the back of the postcard, it says, you know, Joe Biden, let's live together. You know, basically, you can't win without a vote. If you want to win, you just establish reparations commission. I take voting now. Time is running out. People can go to our website, earnblackvote.net. They can order 100 postcards, 500, all the way up to 2,500 postcards, and we'll send them to you. All you have to do is get your people to put a stamp on them and mail them into the White House. You don't have to put your name on it. The zip code is black. You don't have to just mail it in. Postcard stamps are about 53 cents and less than a regular postage stamp. Today, we probably sent over 14,000 of these to the White House. Close to 15,000, if not over 15,000, since we started this campaign. But again, you can go to, and again, as these are coming from all around the country, he's knowing, he's getting the message that black people all around the country are demanding reparations. So we had to just keep these flowing. So that's our postcard campaign. You go to the next slide. So this is some of the messaging we did to Joe Biden's influencers. We let them know that it was their duty to inform the president, you know, that the black vote is key to a victory, and that in order for him to win, he has to gain that black vote, and that he needs to establish a reparations commission. You know, we're the key to victory. And we sent that out again. We sent over 2 million ads, 2.5 million ads collectively. We sent out 1.5 million over a 30-day period from February 15th to March 15th. And then we just concluded about a 40-day campaign that ended on Juneteenth. It started mid-May. And ended on started early May and ended on Juneteenth. Go to the next slide. So that was our message around our power to express our power. This was the message around our second message, was that we have demonstrated the political will in this country for reparations. Again, 88% of Democrats in the Congress established reparations, signed on to reparations bill. Governors in the three largest states and cities in that has the three largest cities in America that has established reparations bills. Then 80% of Democratic Party voters were either in favor or unopposed to the Reparations Commission. So, you know, they need to know this information, that the political will is there. So they're not going against their own party. And we also had demonstrated that's political will. Hundreds of thousands of really state local legislators around the country, Democratic state local legislators, have initiated reparations proposals in over 100 cities and counties and states. So that was our second set of messaging. You can go to the next slide.
Now, I have a question. I'm going to the next slide. So you mentioned about these messages going out over social media. I haven't seen your campaigns, brother. They need to check the algorithm and get it to the right folks.
These were, so these were going out to righteous people who are righteous people. So the way artificial intelligence works is that for internet marketing works is that they know which devices are talking to, speaking other people to other devices. And so they can map out what they call a geosphere of any person. They can do one for you. How many people are communicating with you on a regular basis, communicating with your device, not with your device, so you don't communicate with their device. And they can, you know, say it might be, like, I'm not very popular, it might be 300 people in my field speed. Others, you know, him, they mapped out, they could have took it further than the 2300. They could have took it, but they narrowed it to that 2300. And these messages were going to their devices. And then we also, that was the, and then we, that was not the geofencing. That was the hackers, people in his world. The geofence campaign was targeting toward people in his zip code, his Delaware zip code, and his D.C. zip code. So you wouldn't have saw these messages because you're not in that level of his sphere, his world, or you don't live in his zip code. So this is very targeted, key to target specifically to the audience that you want. We did do soft targeting toward the black electorate. Just didn't have the resources to do that. And that's why we enlisted black organizations to try to get them to go to our website. I wish I had a website. I'm thinking my website, and if you can bring that up on the screen after we go through.
Which one, Reparations United or Early Black Vote?
Black Vote.
Oh, yeah, I've been running it all night. You can't put it back up there. We've been running it all night.
I'm going to show you. You can go to the next slide. Oh, this slide here. This was our third message to Biden, is that this is a matter of conscience, that this is his moment. This is Lincoln moment. So Lincoln did not want, Lincoln first did not want to sign the Emancipation Proclamation. Didn't want to do it. He had an 80-year, people don't know, he had an 80-year gradual emancipation plan that he wanted to enact. He didn't want black people to be free in 1860 until 1940. So he did not want us blacks to join the Union Army. He didn't want us bunch to let them join. He didn't want to have weapons to kill white people. He didn't want to do any of that. But he was forced to do it, or they were, because they were losing the war. He had no other choice if he wanted folks to save the Union. And he did all of that, not because he wanted to, because he was forced to. And this is what we're telling Biden. You're forced to do this. If you understand that democracy is under peril, there has never been any democracy in this country. But white democracy, if you are so worried about white democracy, then you are forced to do it. It's a necessity, an obligation that you do this at this particular point. So we're trying to drive that message home as well. This slide. Go to the next slide. And this is our final set of slides of messaging. And we have more than these, and we have 15-second videos to some of these as well. But they're reparations still for all of America. That, you know, reparations economic benefits America. Reparations transcends race. We show that. Reparations opposes autocracy, builds trust in democracy. All these messages that they want to hear, we can point out to the fact that reparations would, you know, have a beneficial effect in this country in a way that benefits us and the system. So those are our four sets of messaging to black electorate. We wanted the black electorate to amplify these messages so that it becoming not just from earning the black vote and the fewer corporate organizations that are part of it, but it's coming from the black electorate all around the country, this message that you must sign this reparations order. The reason he's not haven't been moved, and he hasn't been moved, one of the reasons he hasn't, is that not enough blacks are messaging it as well. You have all these black folks who are in media, they're not saying reparations. They're in political power. They're not saying reparations. So black leadership, black media leadership, and even black social media leadership is not saying it. Why should he even listen? Even though, you know,
I got a major theory, and I mean, I'm gonna just come on with it. Okay, so you guys have featured, you're targeting towards those quote unquote influencers, but it's grassroots. You don't have to get down to the streets, bro. You know, if you want black people talking about earning the black vote, you gotta have black people targeted and told to push the agenda to earn the black vote. And that's going to have to be the leg that's going to carry you over. These elected officials and people already of political influence, most of the time, they won't touch a serious black issue to save their life. You know, we look at some of these folks who have a million plus subscribers, you know, they wouldn't touch this reparations issue to save their life, to save their mama life. And so, you know, but we, you know, we're going to have to take our people serious and put something in their hands to where they have a vested interest in, to what they see is to their benefit. I mean, let's just keep it real. Why do people celebrate Christmas when they know it's fake as hell? Because they're going to get something out of it. You know? They're getting something out of it. I hate to use that example, but it's the most easiest example that I can bring up. These brothers and sisters are out here, no one approaches them. You know, everybody, you know, basically just takes them for granted. And I know for a fact when we were campaigning for the Republic of New Africa for the election just a few months ago, and just going out of the community, sitting out at the park, you know, the first thing, you know, that I noticed the little brothers and sisters doing, we approach them, first of all, the guards were like, you know, what do y'all want? You know what I'm saying? And then we were talking to them about, we started out for about reparations before we started talking about voting for their own government. And then, you know, talking about reparations, it automatically, you know, I mean, without us, you know, we wasn't judging our brothers or anything like that, but immediately they like stood up, you know, put their pants up and was like, okay, you know, engage the conversation, make other brothers put out what they were smoking on, and you know, like, you know, whatever they were doing, they were like, not here, not right now. Even when we went out to like the different locations where our brothers and sisters were hanging out at, they were, you know, it was pretty much the same thing. So and even when I'm talking to like my older parents or family members, you know, this issue of reparations is something that touches everyone's heart. You know, and that I keep saying over and over, and I know for a fact, this is our campaign in this generation, like the civil rights movement was. But we need to put it in the hands of the black voters. And how this is going to take place, you know, we have a lot of political ideologies going on, but that's something that we really need to strategize on. You know, how, you know, I like the fact that you brought up, you know, how does the reparation campaign with earning the black vote factor into the brothers and sisters that want our own nation, want to be sovereign? And so the point I'm really getting at is these conversations like we have it now, they need to be taking place in the church houses, on the streets, you know what I'm saying, in the, you know, schools, you know, even on social media, that he's a more of aggressive approach in dealing with it, especially if we want to stand a chance in getting an impact. And that's my opinion. You know, we got some more comments coming up here. Let's see. HBCU most definitely
black businesses or agree. HBCUs and black businesses need to rally the White House. Okay. HBCUs and black businesses need to rally the White House. Okay. No disagreement there, brother. Let me be clear about that. When we rally, we need to have a rally point. We need to be on code and unified. So I brought up two different things about hitting the streets, brother. I know you have a certain amount of resources, but what is that strategic plan of getting everyday brothers and sisters involved in this campaign? And how much time do we have?
We don't have much time at all. You know, we have established some teams in 13 different, 11 states. We have three or four people who were charged to get rid of four people, were charged to get rid of four people, who would build a state team to push out the literature among the community, get buy-in from the community around this issue of earning a black vote and making out, speaking as a block. We can have all these numbers of black people voting, but if we're not speaking as a block, it doesn't matter. They can take our voting back. And so that's what this campaign is about. You know, speaking in that one voice that you just stated, how do we do that? And that, you know, again, like you said, we got to get out into the streets to do that. So we're trying to build teams with the limited resources that we have available. And, it has to be done.
Now, you don't have much time. You want to say what the clock is looking like? And what the next question is, you know, what's the next step after the election? Or the black vote keep going?
So our campaign is built on Reparations United will keep going. Earn the Black Vote campaign has passed a set goal, and that's to get a commission established before the election. So it doesn't happen. Earn the Black Vote. I mean, the voters, as election is you know is over. It's been taken. So Earn the Black Vote. You know, will not be. It wouldn't have a mission at that particular time. So we don't believe that if he waits till after the convention, we have enough time. Even if he was to. We may not have enough time to message our people in the way that we want to. So August, September, maybe, you know, the deadline. We will hopefully get it by Juneteenth. That didn't happen. He's, you know, he's fighting his hurt. The Democratic Party has hurt because they came out with a counter position. One of their positions is fighting. This has been his historic position that I'm in favor of H.R. 40. I want it to go through the congressional. I'm going to allow it to go through the congressional way. I think that's the best way. But, you know, as a senator, that's an impossibility. In the House, you need a simple majority. There's 204 to 35 House members. So you split that down the middle, it's 217. All you need is one other vote. That last odd vote will determine whether that bill is passed out of the House. That's called a simple majority. Just one plus two half. In the Senate, the way the Senate rules are, you need, and I think I talked about this, you need 60 votes to keep a filibuster from happening. They can, even though the House, right, the Senate right now is 51-49, 51 Democrats, 49 Republicans, on a bill like this, the Republicans could get up and point where this vote never gets to the floor. It never comes to a vote. As long as there's discussion, which you know is called a filibuster, as long as there's discussion, you can't call for a vote. And the only way you can get past that is you have 60 votes. And you're not going to get 60 votes in the Senate. You're not going to get one Republican vote. And so he knows that it's impossible for this to pass out of Congress. For him to say, I'm going to allow Congress to do it, it's like slapping us in the face like we're stupid. You know, so, you know, we reject that 100%. And he's still saying it. Just heard don't keep them in the room or some of these meetings, because I would push back so hard on that. They would have known not to ever say that. See, stuff again. Not to a black person who knows the political structure of this country. You know, we know it's an impossibility. You know it's an impossibility. Why would you even say something like that? So that's one thing. He's doing that. And then now he has black influencers, celebrities saying, if y'all want y'all reparations, y'all got to vote for Biden. No, that's not the message. Yeah. If they won't win, they have to pass the reparations commission. That's so he's trying to flip the script. I don't know if you saw Steve Harvey. He never said anything about reparations. In fact, he's been against reparations. Now he comes out and say, well, if black folks want their reparations, they better vote for Biden in November. So this is the type of response. He's responding, but he's responding in ways that we reject. And it's not going to get anywhere. Our community, they
got
to push back on these
types
of responses to our efforts.
So Biden has heard the message. He's not that senile. But Biden has heard the message, and he's basically passed the buck or trying to pass the buck to Congress, just to cut to the chase. Okay.
He's got three strategies. Champion his record. This is what I've already done for black people. I've done this, I've done this, I've done that. HBCUs, black women in the Supreme Court, student loan cancellation, blah, blah, blah. He's running this game.
Yeah, that's deflection. That's not reparation.
That's right. So he's running that game. Then he's running the game. I'm going to let up on Congress now. Then he's running the game to get black voters, to black celebrities to say, if y'all want y'all reparations, y'all got to vote for him in November. Well, we're saying, no, if you want to win, you got to give us reparations to the commission now. And so that's just three counters to not forming the commission at this particular time.
Okay, so he passing the buck, deflecting the issue to other issues that are not reparations, passing the buck, instead of signing the executive order, he's trying to pass it over to Congress, in which he knows it's going to be DOA, possibly. Well, it's DOA. Yes, okay, which is DOA going to Congress. And then lastly, we have, they've got the buffer zone black folks that are trying to give him out and turn it back on us. Okay, so with that being said, seems as though it goes right back to the people reframing the thing. And, you know, we would like to have some further discussion with our brother Cam on this initiative and taking this initiative and structuring it to a way where it can be put in the hands of the brothers and sisters that can really put an impact. We got some strategizing going, not that much time, brother. I mean, because your message has been out, you've reached those influencers, and it seems like those influencers are doing the same bull crap that happens every time we have a black issue. Deflection. We start talking about police brutality. They start talking about black economics. We need black banks. I mean, yeah, we need black banks, but that's not the subject. The subject is the black murder and police terrorism, you know, so we have to, again, be more politically clear on that. We have about 8 more minutes in the regular schedule time. Can you, for the record, unwrap what reparations really is for folks who are not really understanding? And then I'm not going to let off on Biden, and we're going to come back to that, because everybody knows right now, unless you've been asleep or under the wall, they basically are structuring themselves to throw Biden under the bus after this debate when he, you know, checked out, you know, had a seat of Alzheimer moment. And so the new, say that the Democratic Party does replace Biden, then, you know, what's the game plan in, brother?
Right, the black people have to immediately, in one voice, say, whoever it is, reparations now. I mean, that gives us a whole other possibility, because that particular person doesn't have a whole lot of time to win over black people. You know, he may or she may be known in their state as one of the governors, but all of us know, I don't know how many people know of Newsom's record in California, or know of Hochul's record as a governor in New York. And so they have to gain black voters from all around the country. And so that gives us an opportunity to message the black people to this new person in reparations now, tell Biden he has to do it right now before he leaves, and we'll make sure we get you in there. We just have to, you know, go with the flow. Whatever that flow is, we just have to be ready to continue the message that there's still no way, I don't care who what Democrat it is, there's still no way Democrats can get elected without substantial amount of the black vote. And so we just have to educate them on that. These same four messages, we got the power of this political will. This is a moment to save democracy and it benefits all of America. Just keep pushing those same four messages.
I think, you know, brother, two of them, black people really don't care about, just to be frank with the last two. It's not in our mindset to save in America, save democracy. We trying to save our black asses. You know, we trying to get these boots off our heads. We gotta, you know, be clear on that. So, I'm talking about to get black people to buy into this campaign. This red, white, and blue is not what's up. You know, and I'm just going to keep it real. If we want to get the black, so right now, if what I'm understanding you to be saying is that Biden's got the message, the black electorate got the message, the black influencers have got the message, they need to be from the people. It sounds like that's the catalyst, and those 15 million, 20 million black people that will vote, or that 1 million vote in Texas that we need to get, we got to get the people something we want to get engaged with. You know, and they got to, and I'm saying that reparations is it, you know, and reparations, what is reparations, brother? The people just think it's a check, but it's bigger than a check.
Got a couple of weeks what I call the five major precepts of reparations. And the first one is, what's the purpose of reparations? And according to an international legal case in the 1890s, the purpose of reparations is to wipe out all consequences of the crime that was committed. So we have 400 years of crime that was committed against black people in this country, about 500+ years in Brazil and other nations, trading nations, but 400+ years of crimes that have been committed. What are all the processes, programs, policies that need to be enacted to wipe away all consequences of those crimes? That's what we mean by reparations. And, you know, we haven't even dreamed of everything that needs to happen. But the United Nations has said this, or the Illinois International Law Commission says, there's five key areas that you look at if you want to wipe out all consequences of the crime. One, you want to first halt the crime if it's still happening. There's a lot of things that are still happening. Incarceration is still happening. Police terror is still happening. So you put in place structures to halt what's going on that's still negatively impacting people. And then you put in place structures to make sure that they don't happen again. So that's called cessation and guarantees and assurance of non-repetition. That's first. Second, you attempt to restore the people back the way they would have been had they not been injured in the first place. That's called restitution. That's some of your economic development, that's educational programs, that's housing, that's man redistribution, repatriation. All of those things come under sovereignty. All those things come under restitution. Then there's compensation, monetary damages for the crimes you committed. That's the check, or that's tax, no tax payment. Anything that puts wealth in your pocket, educational grants, business grants, those things can be part of a compensatory package. And then there's satisfaction. How do you turn the dignity back to the people whose Sydney was a road. I tell people I went to China in 2014. I'm walking down the street mid-morning, and three old Chinese women see me walking. They got to be in their 70s. They walk on the side of the sidewalk. And I was in my 50s, and I'm not, it's like, I was 18, 19 years old. They scared me because I'm a black man. So, you know, we're not respected anywhere on the planet. And so, apologies, exams, truth-telling, reconciliation, that type of thing, like that fulfills the seal of fulfills obligation and satisfaction. And then there's rehabilitation for the heart, mind, and spirit damage. We, our life expectancy is shorter everywhere on the planet than the European world, based on the theft and the historical trauma that we've diet that we've been forced to endure over centuries. All of this has damaged our health. There's a psychological imbalance to deal with the type of trauma that we're still experiencing in this country. So rehabilitation looked at that. Looked at, you know, having healthy food choices. You know, we're not eating garbage that's out here and paraded as food. So reparations is a whole lot of things within those five components. There's hundreds of policies that you can create looking at these five areas. And what I did when I was rewriting HR 40, I wrote into that bill that the outcome of the commission's work must be in alignment with these five areas of poor reparations. It's called poor reparations at the international level. It must be in alignment with these five areas of poor reparations. And so now, at that time, no one knew about these five areas of now, almost everyone in the movement knows that these areas exist and that all of our actions to a redress should be in alignment. We can pull from it. Each of these is not just a check, it's not just education. Because white folks want to tell us that they give us reparations only in the form of education. Odell says psychological warfare continues to happen. Exactly. So these things have to be halted as part of reparations as well. You know, stopping this. The first thing that I wrote some 15 years ago when I first came under this understanding of poor reparations, under cessation, the first thing you must do is release our political prisoners. They're being held illegally. That's the very first form of reparations. We talk about cessation again, it's not repetition. We must cease holding these brothers and sisters in prison illegally for fighting against your illegal act. So,
yes, sir. So,
that's reparations to me.
Reparations. And we want that check.
And we want that check. It's not international law. It's obligatory.
Obligatory.
We're not trying to stop fighting for it. But that's not, you know, everything.
Okay. So, brother, we have, we want you to go ahead and, you know, give your closing statements. If there's any points that you wanted to make that you didn't get to cover, you have the floor, and you know we can extend time as long as you want. But I don't want to, you know, you to feel like we cut you short with my questions to you.
I appreciate all your questions. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate questions and comments from the audience. I can't say it any less. And I said that is that we have the power this country as a black peasant, as a black voting bloc. We have the power to move this country in the direction that we want it to move on this issue of reparations, but this power is dormant. Power is being misled, misdirected, deselected, as you stated, by misleadership, by the people who get paid to keep other stuff out there speaking about than what is really necessary and what we have the power to do. There's people who say that, you know, we're questioning whether or not we have this power. But as I stated, you know, the statistics don't lie. You know, we put these presidents in office over the last 60 years who have been Democrat, and there will be no other Democrat. We have to take advantage of this time because, as you know, everybody here knows there's all these migrants are being allowed into democratic cities, and they'll be replacing the black vote. And And once our vote is replaced and minimized, we can forget about having this power that we have now. Be that use it now, or it be gone tomorrow. So that's where we at. This is an opportunity for us to, if we were to do this right now, then we would put out a power into the future. This would be a power move that they know they have to deal with every election going forward. So that's how important this is. Not only is just getting the reparations commission, but in establishing power to make demands a full black agenda going forward.
Have you had any black influencers with the courage to step up and take this campaign on?
No, we tried to get some people.
You being nice, you need to give us a conversation off these lines on who said no, so we can make a list and check it twice and let everybody know who ain't with you. You know, that's
good. I'm not saying no, they just not have the conversation. It's about, I'm gonna call you back. Never call.
Yeah, that's all right. We can call it off too. You know, when the time came for you to step up, you didn't. You know, we gotta, you know. I know early black vote's not going to do it, but, you know, we got some other people that might not have no problem calling things out. So, you know, again, we want brothers and sisters to make sure that you go to reparationsunited.org if you want to support the campaign that Brother Cam Howard has presented to us. That's reparationsunited.org. The other website to go to is earntheblackvote.net. EarnTheBlackVote.net is where you can go if you want to get involved in this campaign specifically for this election cycle. But if you want to get involved in the long haul on the efforts of Reparations United and now and later, go to ReparationsUnited.org. Now, let's not forget, this program is being brought to you by the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And if you want to be a part of the New Black Panther Party, make sure you go to our website at nbpp.org, nbpp.org, and, you know, put your money where your mouth is, support black people. To all of you that are listening, remember, you can download this program by going to Dollar TV. And let's see. One last comment. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I'm going to be able to put this up, and it's too long. You have to come back on that one. I'm going to leave that one go. So, Brother Cam Howard, we want to thank you once again for coming here and bringing this information to us. We don't take your time for granted, and we look forward to bringing you back in the next couple of months. Hopefully we've got some progress. Hopefully we've got some new information to bring to the table. But lastly, let's be clear. If you were going to get involved in this political process, use your vote wisely. Don't just go in there and just vote who they put in front of you without putting forth a political demand. And, you know, not only are we talking about this on the executive level, look for information that's coming out to you locally. Let's get involved. Brother Cam Howard, any last word?
Thank you so much for allowing me to be on this platform. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. And Black Power, we are signing off.
Black Power.
Signing off the radio, too.
All right, my sister. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was
a little hot where I'm at. Jump off and cool off.
Oh, no problem, no problem. Thank you so much, brother. Black Power.
Let me know when you chop this up so I can.
It'll be ready in a little bit.
Okay, cool.
All right, Black Power. Did I do that again? I'll be sitting so long, I keep forgetting to turn off the race. Black Power. you who are listening on the radio, signing out. Black Power.